The gospel reading comes from the fourth chapter of Mark. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks. Oh boy. All right. I've got two jokes. They're short and sweet. After the birth of their child, a clergy person wearing his cleric collar visited his wife in the hospital. He greeted her with a hug and kiss and gave her another hug and kiss when he left. Later, the wife's roommate commented, "Your pastor is sure friendlier than mine." All right, joke number two. I can't remember who told me this. Oh, some friends who came visiting from California, from Palo Alto, which I'm going to mention in a second. And he said, "What do you do when a pack of clowns attacks you?" "Go for the juggler." Go for the juggler. All right. What's the name of this street before it was called College Street? Who knows the answer? Before this was College Street, it was called something else. Herman Road, right? So in 1958, some people here in this community, for whatever reason, decided that this piece of land, before it was this, should be a church. That people should gather here and figure out, we've been called to follow Jesus, let's pick this spot here off of Herman Road, which later is College Street. 1958, right? That's the first year, from what I understand. Then outside there, if you go outside today and look on that side, you'll see the plaque, October 17, 1965. I am 5 months older than this building, but this building was made in 1965, October 17th, 1965. That's where the journey began in this building with Jesus and St. Mark. And since then, all kinds of wonderful things have happened. You've had lots of music going on, relationships, and most recently, going across the street. I mean, even going around the world to Tanzania. The journey with Jesus in this place has been fantastic. I mean, you reach out. I mean, you don't even know. You know, we give food cards to Mountain View, and those go to families who can have a Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, so you may not realize that, but the monies we are giving are feeding people so that they can have a meal together. I mean, we do that every year, year in and year out. And the relationship we have with the food bank and those peas, and which are not my favorite. I like kale. I'm learning to like peas. But the beautiful, I'll say the kale that I love out there, that goes to families, that is grown here with our hands and our love, and then goes with love. That's part of this journey, and it started in 1958. It's a wonderful thing. And that's how it works when Jesus says, "Follow me." You get in a boat, and you go to the other side, and sometimes the other side is the future. So in 1958, where are we at now? 2015, how many years is that? That's a lot of years. And we keep going. The journey continues. In 1997, when I mentioned Palo Alto, that's where Beth and I lived. Beth was a pastor there, associate pastor, and I took a little longer time to become a pastor, so I was doing my internship with First Evangelical Lutheran Church, an old Swedish Augustana Synod church that's been there forever. And When you're doing your internship, usually you do a project. And so, you know, I'm trying to figure out what to do, and I started talking with the Presbyterian youth pastor at the big Presbyterian church in Palo Alto, and we started talking and be like, I wonder if there's something we could do with East Palo Alto. Now, East Palo Alto in 1997 was noted for one very sad thing. Do you know what that was? Anybody? What was that? The Mystery House. Yeah, that's in Santa Clara. No, that is an interesting thing. But this was a sad statistic. The murder capital of the world, of the United States for that year, East Palo Alto. You have, in Palo Alto at the time, we had an 1,100 square foot house that we paid $2,000 for, which now I've learned is $7,000 a month for an 1,100 square foot house. Now, when you go to East Palo Alto, across the freeway, across I-5, the housing is different. There were, at that time, no stores. And it was all about drugs and mayhem and obviously murder. So this guy and I thought, hey, maybe we should do something with the churches across the street, across I-5. And so we did. And we started talking with those churches. We got a Samoan Christian church. We got this black Baptist church and us and the Catholics, and we got a couple Jewish synagogues, and we just kept going to, it was very interfaith-like. And what could we do? What could we do to lift up this horribleness? I mean, it's horrible. And yet these churches are in there surviving. So we thought, we'll have an ice cream feed. Everybody likes ice cream. Now, I wanted orange sherbet because I like orange sherbet, but nobody else does. So we just had your standard stuff. And we decided to go with the ice cream trough. Have you ever seen this? You take PVC pipe, split it in half. So we had 200 feet of it. And we had a gazillion gallons of ice cream. And, you know, you start talking because, you know, when you go on the boat with Jesus, just like the disciples did, and storms come, you might feel a little fear, and I may have felt a little fearful going to East Palo Alto, but, you know, we didn't have kids yet. I'm just a young and stupid intern. What do I know? So I went with the other pastors, and we got this organized, and we got some security just in case, and we were going to have music, and so it was going to be a dance and an ice cream feed. And we coordinated this, made it all happen, and on that day, you know, I got there, and it's like, oh, there's no kids here, darn it. But by the end of that time, there are 500 kids. Of whatever you think a kid looks like, that kid was there. You know, from wheelchair to every hue to tall and short and flat and fat. Every kid was there. It was a new creation. It was a wonderful thing. So that's scene two. Now we go to the Bible story. So here the disciples are following Jesus. They've seen him do some amazing things. And the text says, the story says, so Jesus says, let's go to the other side. So the other side is where Gentiles are. The other side is where the other is. Whatever that means for you, other. Not you, not me and my family, those people. And that's what Jesus said. We're going to go over to those people. Now, they didn't know that in the next scene, they were going to see this crazy thing where this big, huge, crazed person gets cleansed and a demon leaves him and goes into these pigs, and these thousand squealing pigs go into the ocean, into this sea that they just crossed. They didn't know that was going to happen. They just knew, well, we're following Jesus because who is this guy? And so they're in the boat, and the storm comes like it always does. Whether you follow Jesus or not, storms come, right? Stuff happens. So the deal is when you follow Jesus, it's not like stuff doesn't continue to happen because stuff always happens. I mean, I look at it this way. God's grace is with us in our life. We experience God's grace. Resurrection happens after death. But death is always chasing us. And death for me means chaos and all kinds of crazy stuff, suffering. Those things happen. So they're going in the boat, and sure enough, the storm comes up on that sea. The sea, if you've ever been to Lake Tahoe, it's probably about the size of Lake Tahoe. It's a big lake, you know, miles across. And if you see big lakes when it's stormy, that you don't want to be in a boat. It's just that simple. And they were scared and nervous, and they wake up Jesus and say, hey, miracle guy, can you stop this? Don't you see what's happening? It's like, all right. And he does, and then he says, you guys will get it eventually. You guys will experience faith. But don't fear. Don't fear. And then they move on. So that's scene number two. Now, let's come to right now. Because in the life of this church, if you've been around at all in the past year, or at least since Beth and I have been here, and lots of stuff has gone on before, but we have some new things coming up that have been talked about and bandied about, and we're trying to figure it out. Well, we have a new music director. That's worthy of a little small clap. Thank you very much. I think that's great. Terry Shaw will bring his musicality, his gifts, his presence here. And I believe that will be, I know it will be something new because it will be new. But it will be exciting. I mean, I can promise that. He's awesome from my experience. And all kinds of possibilities for music will happen. Because this is an awesome music place. Founded, based with Ray and her great playing and our great singing that I heard today. So when we sing, "Have No Fear, Little Flock," I want to hear it really loud. Sing it really loud like you mean it. But music is great. It brings joy. It's a wonderful thing. So that's something that's coming up, so get ready, because August 1st is when Terry starts, so that's a new life, a new chapter. We've had lots of wonderful musical experiences, and this is just going to continue in that tradition. Then we've been talking about the number one need, other than housing, to help with homeless kids in our school districts, and that's the Clean Kids Program, and we're working on that. And that's another example where initially, when I had heard about that need and we started talking about it and what, could we meet that need? That's another Jesus saying, hey, come step in the boat. We're going to go over there to those people, because those people are kids who don't have a house and who don't have clean clothing and are hungry. And maybe you've experienced that in your life at some point. Maybe you're experiencing it now. I don't know. But I know those kids are. And I know Jesus is calling someone to step in the boat to meet those needs. And that happens to be us right now. So that's what we're doing. And, storms can come, which is fear and wonder and, the practical person, is this going to work out? Well, we got God. We have Jesus. And it will work out. Whether there's chaos or not, it will work out. And here's why. And this is the key. And it always comes from my Baptist turned Lutheran friend Dean from Tennessee, who's more Lutheran than me and always reminds me about what it means to be Lutheran. So he said, the key in this text is when Jesus is sleeping. Because when they awake him, that's resurrection. And I said, well, I'm always a what does that mean kind of guy. So I asked him, well, what does that mean? And he said, forgiveness. It means forgiveness. And at first, for 24 hours until this morning, I didn't know what he meant. What do you mean, forgiveness? Well, when they woke him up and he silenced the sea and he said, you still have little faith, he was offering them forgiveness. Because they were trying to be faithful, like we all try and be faithful, and sometimes we are not. And we have a God of grace who forgives us, just as Jesus forgave them there. And remember, resurrection is new life. And when you see new life, you know it. When you forgive someone and they're forgiven, there's new life. In this church that was created in 1965 with this beautifully unique architecture. Every person who has come in that door since 1965 has experienced some kind of moment of grace, whether it is forgiveness or like when Pam is in the office and someone comes and needs bus fare to go to their kid who might be dying and they're on their way someplace else, and we're able to help that person. Traveling mercy. Mercy is resurrection because it offers new life. If you've ever received mercy, you know what I'm talking about. It's new life. When I saw those 500 kids eating ice cream, which I don't like, but I even had some. I had some vanilla, I'll admit it, with some, you could choose any sauce you want. You know, I mean, it's 200 feet of ice cream. You can find a spot that's yours and make it your own. And being an only child, I made it my own, and it was fantastic. But God's grace brings joy, which we never get enough of in this world. And in the midst of standing in the murder capital of the United States in 1997, 500 kids eating ice cream with wonderful music going, and it was a beautiful, sunny Palo Alto day, East Palo Alto day, and 500 kids, I can't describe joy any more than that. And so what's next? As we step in the boat with Jesus, when Terry comes, what will that bring? When the Clean Kids program happens and the first kid comes here to our space and washes their clothes, that's grace. That's joy. That's mercy. That's forgiveness. That's God's grace. It's new life. It's resurrection. And who knows what's next? What's the next thing Jesus is going to say? When he says, come on, come into the boat and follow me. Amen.